the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, it's been called the Western disease, and what we're talking about here is something quite often they talk about, the metabolic syndrome, which involves heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And Western society suffers in large measure from these three killers, which seem to be rare in non-Western societies. A lot of times here on the program, we talk about expenses in retirement. If you're retired, you can expect your medical expenses to be growing something like 6 to 8% a year. That's just an average. For income recipients, premiums right now are up over 22%. Obamacare premiums, for example, an average about 25% increase. In Arizona, up over 100%. And the Wall Street Journal reported last week that insurers in many states are seeking 30% increase in premiums for 2018 as the result of Obamacare. As we've mentioned, the average retired couple, age 65, starting out into retirement, will spend $260,000 out of pocket for medical care during their retirement years. And that's up from $246,000 last year. So today here on Lifetime Income, our focus is on navigating the healthcare system without dying broke.
And before we get into this, I want to throw some sobering stats out there. John, you'd mentioned that the three big killers in Western society are heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. Three kinds of diseases you rarely see in China or other societies that aren't on the Western type diet. So let me throw some statistics. Heart disease, 610,000 die every year. It's the number one killer in the U.S., accounting for 1 out of 4 deaths. It's a leading cause of death among women and men. 735,000 heart attacks per year. That's heart disease. We get to cancer, 585,000, right up there with heart disease deaths per year, everything from colon to lung to breast to prostate cancer. And here's the big one, leading these other two diseases, diabetes. 30.3 million Americans have some form of diabetes, accounting for almost 9.4% of America's population. And as you get older, those stats become even worse. If you take age 65-year-olds, a little over 25% of individuals age 65 and older have some form of diabetes in terms of either type 2 or type 1. Now, we've done a number of shows on health here. We've interviewed the authors of the China study. We've interviewed Dr. Dean Ornish, Caldwell Esselstyn from the Cleveland Heart Clinic, two documentary filmmakers. A couple of them will be coming up in the month of August. But it boils down to one simple word. Why are we in the West, in a Western society, dying and having these kind of disease? You can boil it down to one word alone, and that is diet. Now, you've probably been told, well, maybe it has to do with age, maybe it has to do with genetics, and certainly when it comes to diabetes, there's more of the population that has diabetes as you get over age 65. But in some cases, it's a small, small factor. The main cause of all of these diseases is diet itself.
Yeah, a lot of these authors that talk about this, especially in the area of heart disease and diabetes, and of course, subsequently cancer, the simple prevention or reversal of this, if you're starting into this type of thing, would be a change of diet. But a lot of times, doctors don't tend to mention that.
No, they don't. And as you'll see in some of these documentary films, most doctors don't even get nutrition in medical school. If it is, maybe it's one class, maybe it's a couple lectures. And what we're finding more and more from advanced studies, either those done by Dr. Dean Ornish, those done by Joel Furman, there's a number of studies out there. The Cleveland Heart Clinic is very big on this. We've had Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn on this program, as well as the authors from the China study. And they're finding out more and more. Caldwell Esselstyn is using diet as one of the main ways to reverse heart disease in his patients. In the number of studies he's done, Dr. Dean Ornish is doing it. You've got diets out there now called the Pritikin diet that's out there. So there are a number of these that are out there, and we're finding more and more. And as you'll see, John, you're starting to see this because we follow these trends. You're seeing it in supermarkets. For those of you listening, you've noticed it in your neighborhood. It's very, very big here in California, where you are starting to see a lot of these main grocery store chains, even Costco, open up whole sections devoted to organic food. So the produce department is occupying larger and larger space in grocery stores as the trend is away from processed frozen food to more fresh food, which is healthy and organic food. And by the way, it costs less, because when you think of it, take a food, process it, and put all kinds of chemicals and all the other stuff that they put in it, it's naturally going to cost you more money to eat those kind of foods, even though they're less healthy, versus going over to the produce section and getting something fresh and healthy for you. It costs so much less. And I think we did this once, where you take a cost of a potato, turn it into a potato chip, it costs like four times more, turn it into Pringle, cost eight times more. So you're seeing this trend take over, and it's starting with millennials, and you're starting to see it and take over. Here we have several stores like Whole Foods that are similar in nature, that are going more organic, natural foods. You're seeing it now, and watch the big push that you're going to see now that Amazon has bought Whole Foods, and look at the changes that is going to bring.
You know, we've talked about this quite a number of times here on the program, especially when you realize that not just in the U.S., but governments elsewhere are making far more offers and promises to people than they can possibly keep. Look at the state of Medicare right now financially, and healthcare costs for retirees. Well, a good portion of your expenses in retirement are going to be spent taking pills. Let's face it, Big Pharma is called Big Pharma for a reason. It's huge. Whether you're taking cholesterol-lowering medications like statin drugs, things to control hypertension, all of this adds up, and we're going to find that insurance and Medicare is probably going to be covering less and less in the future, and that plops the cost of the medicine in the laps of the individuals.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, the Wall Street Journal did a piece last week, and a lot of the insurers are seeking a 30% increase in premiums next year as a result of Obamacare. This year, Obamacare premiums nationwide are up 25%. Some states like Arizona, they're up over 100%. And it's just the way the system is working. So one of the best things you can do to help control medical costs is to keep yourself healthy. Because face it, you have to take pills. And we're going to play an interview during our August recess that I recently did with the documentary filmmaker. And three of the individuals that were in the documentary film, I think one of them was taking like 19 pills, blood thinners, hypertension, statin drugs. And then, of course, when you take certain drugs, there's reactions. So you have to take a drug to counteract the side effects of drugs that you're taking. One individual in the movie was taking 19 separate medications. Can you imagine what that costs? And here's the big issue. Pills do not cure the disease. They are mainly band-aids. And as all these studies have shown, whether you have heart disease, hypertension, you're more likely to die as a result, because all you're doing, you're not solving the problem. Whether it's your diet, maybe it's your lifestyle, stress, lack of exercise. If your diet, your lifestyle, lack of exercise, stress does not change and you're popping a pill, you know what? You're putting a band-aid. You're not solving the problem. So if you want to get rid of things like heart disease, which is possible, prevent cancer or limit it or even cure it, and get rid of diabetes, which is now on the verge of becoming an epidemic, when you have almost 10% of the population in this country is diabetic, and 25% of the population over 65 is diabetic. The things that we're going to be talking about, and especially I want you to listen to the interview that I do with Dr. Joel Fuhrman on ending heart disease. It is an eye-opener. It is a must-reading. It's on my top summer reading list. It is a book. If you have hypertension, you have high cholesterol, you have heart disease in the family, it's a book that could literally save your life. I really want you to listen to this interview, and that will be coming up on the program tomorrow.
Well, I know for a long time, Jim, you were talking about the paleo diet. You lost a lot of original weight. Now, have you had ongoing success with it? Because this is the problem with all diets. You know, I had this thing with my doctor, and he said, well, you know, your body mass index is a little high. And I said, here's the deal, doc. I've been on every diet on the planet. I've biked 50,000 miles. I've swum until I'm waterlogged. And of course, he's laughing by this time. And I said, I'll go on any diet that you put me on, just one stipulation. You must guarantee me that it will work. And he got real quiet. And I said, okay, shut up and never mention it to me again. Okay. And I did see an article, by the way, by an internal specialist who said, it's time we stop telling our patients to lose weight if we can't tell them how to lose weight.
But the trouble is, you know, if you talk to your doctor and say, how much of a background do you have in nutrition? That's not what they're taught. They're taught about diseases. They're talked about surgery. They're talked about all the things that we use today, from stents to pills to surgery to correct things, when the real issue is you get down to it. Because why is it people in the West have these issues and people in the East, where they have more plant-based diets, like in China, which was the big book, the China study, you see it in Asian cultures, you see it in Africa, where, you know, heart disease or things like cancer or diabetes, John, are almost unheard of. So if they're not taught this and do not have a good, strong background in it, how are they going to advise you? I mean, you know, that's what most doctors do. Well, you need to lose weight. And there's a documentary film out. It's out right now. You can see it on Netflix. And you can go to the website. It's called What the Health, just like What the Hell. It's What the Health. And watch it. It will blow your mind. I never realized, John, that in chickens, that have you ever gone to a grocery store and you look in the meat department, you can tell when the meat is old because it kind of turns this brown look. But when you look to the section where they have chicken, it always looks fresh and clean and real fresh. They inject chickens with salt. I never knew that. In fact, in the film, one of the cardiologists talking, a lot of Americans get their salt through chicken. And there isn't much difference between health-wise between beef and chicken. And you will be surprised about this. But we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about the nutritarian diet that Dr. Joel Fuhrman is on. And we are going to be covering plant-based diets here over the next couple of weeks with some surprising new books that are out on the market that are showing remarkable results in ending and curing heart disease for patients, reversing. One of the best examples I can give you is former President Bill Clinton. He had quadruple bypass. A year later, he collapsed and had stents put in. And then he came under Dr. Dean Ornish's heart reversal program, and he's reversing heart disease, and it's the best he's ever looked. So there is a background, and there is a slow movement of change that is coming about. You're seeing it with the advent of the type of healthy stores like Whole Foods now being bought by Amazon. Amazon will be pushing this. I'll be surprised to see what they do with it. We have all kinds of grocery store chains in California that do the same thing. And we're noticing even in the major grocery chains here that they're remodeling and reducing the shelf space for processed foods. And this is something we're going to cover in the big picture on our investment show, what I call the end of branding. It's everything that you think about today, whether it's driving a car, the way you fly, the way you travel, the way you eat, the way you shop, the way you communicate, all of that is going to change so remarkably. 10 years from now, in the year 2027, you'll look back at where you are today and say, oh my goodness, how much the world has changed. And so I have gravitated, going back to your original question, is I've moved more towards a what I call nutritarian diet, which is more plant-based. I've moved away. I no longer eat things like chicken or beef anymore. If I occasionally go off it, it will be with certain kind of seafood, which will be wild catch salmon and things like that. I don't eat, gosh, if you see what goes on with farm-fed fish, boy, you would change your diet. But my own journey began with paleo, and I moved more towards what Dr. Furman calls or refers to as a nutritarian diet, with the idea of losing even more weight, reducing more body fat, and eventually getting off hypertension. Because that's what happens in this country. As we age, as a result of the salt intake that we have, if you ever look at packaged food, canned food, or anything you're eating, or even recipes, how much salt is in the food that we digest, it's absolutely amazing at the amount of salt and sugar that we digest in our regular diets in the foods that we buy.
Obviously, here on Lifetime Income, because it's a major subject, we've talked about, you know, food and health options with experts for years, and even how you navigate the system, because it does get a little complex. You talk about Medicare and getting the right Medigap insurance. But the number one thing that you can do to impact your health, option number one, is change your diet. That will, in many cases, do more to reversing the problems that you have than continuing onward. And when you start to manifest these symptoms, you should be doing something about it.
Yeah, you really don't want to wait. I was just talking to one of my clients, and they were over in Europe this summer. And my client is in his mid-80s, his wife in his late 70s, and their son-in-law, age 60, had a stroke when they were on vacation. And you just don't think about it. He had no signs of it other than just before it happened. He was complaining. He felt a little dizzy, felt kind of funny, and had a minor stroke when he was on a vacation. So this is kind of one of the things, and I recommended this book to my client to get for his son-in-law, the Joel Furman's book, The End of Heart Disease, because we've done a number of shows on Medicare. We've talked about Medigap insurance, the importance of it. We've also looked at some of the alternatives. We've covered these topics extensively. And if you want to go back into our archives on the program, we have numerous shows on Medicare. And we've also talked about some of the options that you can take to help reduce your healthcare costs. Because if you are heading into retirement, it's the one thing that most people don't plan on is medical costs, John, and it's just something that creeps up on you when you least expect it. Maybe when you retire, you're age 65, you're feeling pretty good, but watch what happens when you get into your 70s and your 80s. That's when these costs really start to come at you. So when we come back from our August recess, we're probably going to do something more comprehensive, because we are going to be covering different aspects of diet and what it is doing remarkably to getting rid of diabetes, preventing or helping against cancer, and ending heart disease and reversing it. We're going to talk to some of the best experts out there. There's a number of new books out there that I have read and we will be having on the show. The first is Dr. Joel Furman. He's written about 3 or 4 books, from Ending Diabetes and Why Americans Die of All These Diseases. That's his new book that's coming out in October, and that will be featured on tomorrow's program.
You know, since we talk about reducing healthcare costs, let's face it, they're going up. Best thing you can do is take an interest in your health. If you're a lot younger, take an interest now. Don't wait until something develops and start changing your lifestyle. But the cheapest single thing that you can do is change your diet.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize a couple points. Number one, healthcare costs for seniors are going up at 6 to 8% a year. Now, if you make over $77,000 a year, I don't need to tell you what happened to your Medicare costs this year. Depending on what income bracket, you could be paying 4 times as much as the average person pays for Medicare, not to mention the fact that your premiums went up over 20% this year. Number two, the second thing I want to emphasize, if you are planning for retirement and you are doing a budget, something you need to be putting into your retirement plan or financial plan, you better start budgeting $10,000 to $11,000 per year in your budget. Even though you don't need it, you're going to need it somewhere down the road if you don't want to run into financial problems later on. So most people, you know, they take their regular living expenses, they take their Medicare premiums and whatever they're paying for Medicare insurance, and that's what they put in their budget. That's the wrong kind of budget. You need to be putting aside $10,000 to $11,000 a year, because that's the out-of-pocket expense, this $250,000, the $260,000 we're talking about. That is the amount of money you need to start putting away early on in your retirement. Otherwise, it's going to come back to bite you. Number three, if you are working today, by all means, set up a health savings account. You can put away a significant amount of money. It comes off the top of your tax return. It grows tax-free, and it's going to help cover those healthcare costs. And the tax code, especially as you take a look at where we've gone with the tax code, they are eventually moving away with itemized deductions. If the Republican or the president's plan goes through, other than increasing standard deductions, as you know today, you have to exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income to get a deduction for healthcare expenses, which includes whatever you're paying for premiums or out-of-pocket expenses. So they're moving away from that. That's why the health savings account is even better than spending the money itself, because number one, it compounds tax-free, you get a tax deduction for it, and you can use it later on to pay for medical expenses and pay no taxes. So unless Obamacare is repealed, or you belong to that special interest group, or you're a member of Congress that exempts from Obamacare and its cost, you are going to see these costs begin to escalate. As we mentioned earlier, healthcare insurers are already putting in for a 30% increase in premiums for the year 2018, and that's after a 25% average increase this year. And number four, if you are in your late 40s, early 50s or 60s, and you have a history of longevity in your family, or you have parents that are in their late 80s and 90s, some of which end up in long-term care facilities, if you can afford it, buy a long-term care policy with some kind of inflation protection when it's cheap or inaffordable. Another option you can do, if you're worried about spending money, is you can buy a life insurance policy that the death benefits are converted to living benefits. In other words, let's say, for example, you had a $100,000 life insurance policy. You can convert that to payments of $25,000 a year over a four-year period. In other words, they have a long-term care conversion option, or you set up some kind of annuity option on you and your spouse's life so that you can handle these cares. But these are four things that you can do right now to plan for these costs, because we're seeing more and more people get hit with this. I have had a client who has a mother. She must be 86, maybe even 87 now, but age 85, she was going along fine in good health. She had a stroke. She had beginning signs of dementia that was diagnosed a couple of years earlier. She is now in a long-term care facility. It's costing the family over $6,500 a month. She doesn't have the income. They're spending down her assets, and the kids are having to pitch in to support mom as she's being taken care of, because she basically needs 24-hour around-the-clock care because of the late stages of her Alzheimer's disease. And this is something that you're likely to face. In her case, she was diagnosed with dementia, but then when she had the stroke, it just accelerated everything. And now she's in a long-term care facility, something that the family had not planned for, $6,500 a month. And that, by the way, is cheap. In California, you're probably paying $7,500 to $8,000 a month.
And as I always like to do at the end of each discussion, before we go to our real-life case study, number one, this is what we've talked about today, longevity. Americans are living longer. In 2010, a male, 65 years, had an expected lifespan of another 18 years to live. A lady, 20-plus years, and that's based on 2010 statistics. Healthcare is rising about 6 to 8% a year for seniors, so you should plan on spending $260,000 out of pocket for medical expenses in retirement. And what this means is you need to budget $10,000 to $12,000 a year as a part of your retirement healthcare budget. And what you're doing here is, even if you're not spending it during that time, you're building up money to pay that $260,000 because the averages show that you will use it. There are a number of options to help cover these costs, from Medigap, long-term care policies, life conversion policies, annuities, and health savings accounts. You need to look into whatever might work for you. But of course, the best option of reducing cost and deferring and avoiding disease is to eat healthily. All right, time for our real-life case study. Remember, as with all our studies, this is an hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed, and there are slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that Jim is making.
Our case this week is Brian and Lucy Withers. Brian is age 65. Lucy is age 54. So one thing that we have right off the bat is not only the fact that women live longer, but there was 11-year age difference between Brian and Lucy. They both hope to retire in 1 to 2 years. Brian's life expectancy is much less than Lucy's given family history, 86 for Brian, Lucy 95. Their risk tolerance was moderate, and their investment objective is income with capital preservation. Brian is a private contractor. He's worked as a private contractor pretty much most of his life. He's considering retirement given that he's seen many of the buyouts and is involved in another. Retiring soon is an appealing proposition, since he desires to spend more time with his wife and friends, living a very comfortable lifestyle with lots of trips and expensive hobbies like sailing and golfing. Boy, Brian, I relate to this so much, at least on the sailing side. Brian cares not to change his lifestyle heading into retirement. However, he does have a heart condition and has already had bypass surgery that could potentially require additional procedures in the future. After some major investment losses, he decided to use an advisor like ourselves, but has been overzealous in his risks that he tends to take. Lucy, on the other hand, is a manager and waitress. She has worked in the same fine dining restaurant for nearly 2 decades. She's built up a network of many lifelong friends and clients throughout the years. Although she enjoys what she does, she's finding her job more difficult due to her worsening arthritis. She's very healthy and has been given a long life expectancy given her mother is still alive in her late 90s. And check this out, her grandparents both reach the age of 100, something that we're more likely to see going forward, of seeing more of us living to become centenarians if we get so lucky. She's concerned about her needs after her spouse passes, as she believes, given the age difference and health difference, that she's probably going to outlive him by at least a decade. Because of this, Lucy is more conservative in her investments for fear of losing what they have worked so hard to save. Their current risk profile, and this is something that I really recommend people look at and do themselves, their risk score was 3 on a scale of 10, but their portfolio was a 7 on the risk score. And a lot of that had to do with Brian's sort of risk taking. He tends to be a little bit more on the risk side, which we find so many times the difference between husband and wife. Wives tend to be more conservative, especially when you figure you outlive your husbands. And especially in this case, between Brian and Lucy, where you had almost 11-year difference in age. Things that were important to him, especially with Brian, is retiring, given his heart condition, preserving purchasing power, and maintaining the same lifestyle throughout retirement. Their essential budget was basically close to $98,000, discretionary $48,000. Budget was about close to $150,000 a year. Brian's salary $151,000, Lucy's income $62,000, so they had a surplus of $67,000. Now, they thought they could pair their salary by downsizing their home and doing a few other things to get that essential budget down to $56,000. But sailing, hobbies, golfing, and traveling, discretionary budget would stay about the same, about close to $50,000. So their base budget was over $100,000. Given Social Security for both of them, which would be $48,000, their shortfall was $57,000. Brian's retirement asset, first of all, they had a house was worth $665,000. There was about $50,000 of liabilities, and that was mainly on some toys that they had, including the sailboat. Brian's retirement was about $1.5 million. Lucy's retirement was $125,000. Joint savings between both of them. A lot of that was in cash. A lot of that was basically getting out of some bad investments. Was close to $956,000. Total assets of $2.6 million investable. Total assets of about $3.2 million. So part of the issues that we had to deal with is dealing with enough cash flow to maintain the same standard of living. They still wanted to continue to golf. Brian still wanted to sail. They still wanted to do a lot of the traveling. So they didn't want to stop any of that. In fact, they wanted to actually do more of it. But we told them, you need to curb this towards the early years, and especially the difference between Brian and Lucy. But managing the risk of longevity, that's mainly on Lucy's side. Controlling projected healthcare expenses, given the fact that Lucy's grandparents lived to be age 100. And then also the sequence of return problems that many people run into starting retirement. Think of you retired in the year 2008 and went through a bear market that saw the S&P lose 58% of its value. So what we did is basically did a balanced account. And this is very important, more heavily weighted towards the fixed income side in the early years. And that produced a return of close to 3%. Total income would be about $73,000. So when they retire, considering Social Security and investment income, it'd be about $121,000 a year, less a budget of $105,000, leaving a surplus of almost $16,000. Now, what we did is recommended that Brian continue to work another year and a half to 2 years to help increase their retirement nest egg and reduce the risk of retiring in or near a bear market, given current market conditions. We already told them that basically, look, at the time we did this plan, we were already beginning the ninth year of a bull market. And we said, sooner or later, we're going to have another bear market. And what you don't want to do is be heavily exposed to stocks as you are now. So we gradually reduce their exposure to stocks, given the fact that they were only a year and a half to 2 years away from retirement. And then we also recommended that Brian reduce the company's stock exposure since he held a concentrated position that mounted more than 10% of their investment allocation. Now, we also encouraged Brian to sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan to keep their costs somewhat predictable. We also suggested that they followed their doctor's advice to take better care of themselves. In fact, I recently have called several of my clients who have heart conditions and talked about several books, including Joel Fuhrman's book and Dr. Gundry's book and several others that help to reduce heart disease and could actually reverse it. It's remarkable what diet can do. It's better than any pill that you can take. And so we also said that, look, you got to change your diet. There's just no way. You know, all the statin drugs and blood pressure pills are doing are just band-aids. Your arteries are still clogged. And unless you change, nothing's going to change that aspect of your disease. Now, given Lucy's long life expectancy, we advise that Brian delay retirement and his Social Security benefits to increase their cash flow, especially since she will inherit his, and also the more he delays them to age 70, those Social Security benefits will grow by 8% a year. We recommended that also that he use the portability feature of his life insurance so he would have permanent coverage of $400,000 for the rest of his life, which would be a helpful addition to Lucy. Now, remember, when one spouse dies, it's usually the husband. The wife can take the larger of the two Social Securities, either her own or her husband's. Generally, what happens, she ends up taking her husband's Social Security. But however, in the process, she loses her own Social Security. So we recommended that he keep and make his life insurance portable and make it permanent at $400,000, which would be an added addition to the portfolio to make up the loss for Lucy's own Social Security, assuming that Brian would go first, given the age difference and health difference, then she would take Brian's Social Security. So, John, in the end, we basically did a couple things. One, talked about lifestyle changes for Brian, especially given health. We also talked about getting less risky given the investment portfolio. We also talked about having a Medicare Advantage plan and then also carrying over and making his insurance permanent because Lucy would lose her own Social Security at Brian's death.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, Dr. Joel Fuhrman is Jim's guest. The End of Heart Disease is his book, so you don't want to miss that one. Anything else we're looking forward to in the future, Jim?
You know, for the next couple of weeks, we are going to focus on the health issue because more and more you're seeing this as being the number one solution to high healthcare cost and the prevention of disease. There are a number of great books out there. We're starting to make inroads. You're seeing it in supermarkets. You're seeing it in things like Amazon buying Whole Foods. So there's a whole revolution that's coming in healthcare in the next decade. The things that we're going to see in our lifetime, and we're going to do more of these shows on the weekend show called The Disruptors, the world that you're going to live in 10 years from now is going to look so much different than the world that you live in today, even though you're probably saying to yourself, I never thought the world I'm living in today would look the way it does. Well, believe me, folks, it's going to change even more. So we're going to cover this, and then we'll probably come back after recess, and we're going to do a combo show where we really try to put all this together, from diet to Medicare, Medigap insurance, alternatives to long-term care, and different ways to bring down the cost of healthcare, because next to taxes, it's your second biggest expense that you will run into through your retirement years. In the meantime, well, as always, we're out of time. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries, or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.